Now, the holding on Lamed Aleph on the day is beginning the third parak. So continuing on the topic of Pigul, which we started discussing in the previous parak, so far we've established as follows. There's four avodas during which, the four main avodas during which it's possible for a person to have a thought of Chutzpah Zmanah, which would make the Korban Pigul, that the Korban is the Torah of the Korban, all of it is going to be eaten or burnt outside of its proper time, or the blood is going to be sprinkled outside of its proper time. There can be instead Machshavas Mokon, where he has in mind that it's going to happen outside the Azara, and that makes it possible, but not Pigul. And then you have, at the beginning of the Sechta, we talk about other Machshavas that could pass the Korban, in particular Shiloh L'Shmoy, for Pesach and Achatas. So now, the previous parak began with a long list of people who are possible to do the avodah, and the Gemara had gone through them one by one and show how we know they're possible and how they pass the avodah. So now, on that vein, the Mishnah says, "Kol psulim sheshachtu, any of these psulim, if they shechted a korban, shchitasim pshera, then their shchita is kosher." Now it sounds like only b'diavad sheshachtu. If they shechted, so the Gemara is going to take up that point. Because shchita of korbanos is kosher by if it's done by zorim over noshim or women over avodim knanim, or basically the same din as women, or even people who are tamei, how they're going to chef if they're tamei when they have to be inside the azara. We're going to discuss in the Gemara if they use a long knife. And that applies even to kodshe kodshim. Even then, they can shech them. So even though those have a higher level of kedusha, and you would think that maybe tmeim should be restricted from those, but no. Ovavanshala yu tmeim nogin babosim. Provided that the tmeim do not actually touch the meat. If they touch the animal alive, no problem. A live animal is not makabel tumah. But if they touch the meat, they're going to be metameh, and therefore that would be a problem. Strictly speaking, actually, now how in order for the meat to be makabel tumah, it would have to be mukshir with one of the seven liquids. Now, the Gemara elsewhere tells us, long sovia in Pesachim, that mashke base midbachaya, the liquids of the base hashchita, including the blood from the korbanos, are not makshir. So that being the case, then what's the problem? So Tosfos brings up a couple of possibilities. First of all, you have something called the Chibas HaKodesh. You have the fact that Kodshim are so precious to us, that itself makes it they can be Kabbal Tumah even when they haven't had Hechsher Tumah. Second of all, Tosfos says you could have, for example, the animal had just been taken through a river to clean it up on the outside before you bring it to the Bais Mikdash, to bring it as a korban, and the water is still on it when it's shechted, and therefore that's definitely Machshir, because that's not Machshir Bais Mikdash. Tosfos, by the way, points out another point as well. The Gemara we're saying over here, we're mentioning that Shchita is Ksheira ben Noshi. An interesting historical sidelight over here is, there was a, back in the time of the Gaonim, there was a fellow who showed up in North Africa, in the city of Kairouan, a big Jewish community of that time, named Eldad Hadani. He claimed to be from the Aseret HaShvatim. He brought with him a whole collection of halachas that he said that by the we Aseret HaShvatim, we don't know the names of all the later chachamim, of course. We went into Golis long before that. So all of their halachas would be in the name of Yeshua ben Nun, who said in the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there were a lot of them were kind of oddball halachas, one of them being that women are not allowed to shecht. So I asked him, Samach Goy, in Bavel, about what's the deal with this guy? Is he the genuine Marpo? Is he, in fact, in the Aseret HaShvatim? Is he maybe a Koroi trying to confuse us or whatever? And Samach wrote back to them, basically, you've got to take each thing on its merits. Not necessarily can you take everything that he said as a given. On the other hand, you know, poor guy, he himself is describing, he went through so much coming from the land of the Aseret HaShvatim here, he might have gotten some things mixed up. In any case, some of his halachas wound up in later Sfarim, and in particular in a collection called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. And Tosfos refers to it over here at the beginning of Chulin, whether in fact, according to that, women are not allowed to shecht. So Tosfos says, based on this, it comes out that no, there's no problem, there's no noshin daikin kalos. He also, there's no issue with that.
In the beginning of Shkita, the whole Adichus of nothing that's in colors versus
So the Maisa, I don't think we see women shechting, but in principle, it would be allowed. You do have the problem. Shemi is Aleph, yeah. Torah was mentioned a couple of other things as well, but you in that connection, also from this Elder Dagoni.
Didn't just shout, so it would be okay. The reason is because of the Dutch Kitalas, and they're very touchy.
Very touchy, very easily distracted, yeah. Then there's a Torah was mentioned in this connection also, for example, he says that if a person shechts without a bracha, then it's possible. There also, the person can bring that, and they show a certain respect for it. You should shecht with a bracha. But it's not possible if you didn't. So Mishnah continues, L'fichachain poskim machshava. Now, therefore, since all these psulim are kosher to do the shchita, then therefore they're able to passel it with machshava. If they have a machshavas man, machshavas mokim, shalai l'shma, whatever, they're going to passel it because they're perfectly kosher to shecht. On the other hand, v'cholim chakiblu, like the chutz v'zmanim, the chutz v'mekayimai, on the other hand, if any of these psulim do the Kabbalah, and they do that with a thought of chutzas mano or a thought of chutzas mekoyno. So what happens to their machshava? So we ignore it, kind of. Im yesh dama nefesh, if there still is dama nefesh available in the animal's neck, yachsar kosher v'yikabel, then the kosher koyin should go and do another kabbalah and do the rest of it. So since they're not roy, and machshava is only going to passel, only somebody who's roy to do the avodah, then their machshava is not going to passel it. Nevertheless, though, we still need a proper kabbalah, and therefore a good koyin is going to have to do the kabbalah again. As opposed to, in other words, if the machshava was effective, then we would say you can't, once the korban is possible, you can't make it kosher again by doing a new kabbalah. Continues the Mishnah. Kibbal a kosher and not on the possible. What happens if a kosher kohen did the kabbalah and then he handed it to someone who was possible? Yatsu the kosher, then he has to give it back to the kosher and the kosher will do the rest of the halacha. Earlier on, that's the Yudalad Tesvav, the one I had, there was a long sugya about all this, discussing the point of halacha shaloi biyad. If you do halacha, just handing it to the other person, not walking with the foot, is that considered halacha? And various other angles on that. So the Gemara had mentioned there, possible.
Like tiptoeing.
There was the tiptoeing, there was the half tiptoe, is it that, and in that connection, when we had over here, if the kosher hands it to the posel, is that actually considered a halacha? So then we said that there were two different gersois over here in the Mishnah. Either yachsir the kosher, you just have to hand it back to the kosher, and the kosher takes it from there, or yachsir a kosher v'yikabel, the kosher actually has to go over to where the posel is and take it from him and bring it back into the original location where it was, and then start taking it from there. Otherwise, you have a partial halacha that was done by a czar, and it's going to pass away. If he did Kabbalah with his right hand, and we learned in the previous parak, the avodah has to be done with the right hand, and then he put it in his left hand. So fine, he has to put it back in his right hand and continue from there. Moving it from one hand to another is not considered a halacha. That would be a problem. Similarly, if he did the Kabbalah in a kli shoris and then he put it into a regular keli, you can't do the zirka with that. Yaksu the kli kodesh, he has to put it back into a kli kodesh, and again, no problem. Some of it is the pashtus, the chiddush in that is some of it is inevitably going to stick to the walls of the second keli, and you're also supposed to do Kabbalah and Halacha and Zrika of all the blood, but nevertheless, you know, b'di'evit, you have some of the blood, then it's good, and that's the case over here. Nishbach and akli al ritzva, if it spilled from the keli after it was received in the keli and it spilled on the floor, v'osfar, and he collected it from the floor, kosher, then it's kosher to sprinkle on the mizbeach, as opposed to in the previous parak where we learned that if it went directly, if it spurted directly from the animal's neck onto the floor, then no good. It has to be received in a cave first. Next. Nosnal a kevesh shaloik, al gabe a kevesh shaloik and agadai yisod. If he, and who is the he, we'll talk about in a second. If he put the blood on the kevesh, on the kevesh, which is not a place for the sprinkling of blood, or shaloik and agadai yisod, or on part of the mizbeach itself, but not above the yisod, southeastern corner, and possibly the whole south and eastern sides, did not have a yisod. We'll talk about that later in Perakez on the Koyman. And all blood has to be put on a part of the mizbeach that's above the yisod, or nosenas and itonim amata lamayelon, or blood that was supposed to be placed on the lower half, most korbanos, he placed on the upper half, above the foot, as an etonin, as an etonin, lamaila lamato, or the other way around, blood that was supposed to go on the top half of a chatas behemer, or an olas ha'oif, he did on the bottom half. That's an etonin b'fnim b'cholitz, or blood that was supposed to be put inside the hayfol, the karbonis of Yom Kippur, the power helm, davar shel tzibur, whatever, he did them on the outer mizbeach. That's an etonin b'chutz b'fnim, or the ones that are supposed to be on the outside, he put inside. In all those cases, im yesh dama nefesh, and there still is dama nefesh, in the neck, yasa kosher yikabel, then a kosher should start over and do the Kabbalah and continue from there.
How would you know dama nefesh?
So what it is so the Gemara elsewhere, we're shooting out. Gemara in Krisis talks about like there's four stages. First you have you have little drops coming out, like as he's cutting through the skin in the initial thing. Then you have it starts dribbling out kind of, and it also changes color during it as well. Then you have eventually it starts spurting out, a huge gush. And it's bright red. That's the arterial blood. With that, the nefesh leaves. And then you have afterwards, after a while, that gush stops and starts again oozing out. Okay? So now, in the Gemara, everybody agrees the third one is Dama Nefesh. The Gemara in Krisis, Rav Yechon, Rish Lakish discussed maybe the second one is Dama Nefesh as well. Whatever the case, if you've been trapped in Karbanos for a while, you'll know.
That still has to do, meaning Pirkus is after that.
Pirkus would be sometime after that, right? Right. But Pirkus has nothing to do with over here. We talked about Pirkus briefly in the previous
paragraph. Pirkus, we already said that the animals is already
trapped in it. So if there's still Dama Nefesh, then fine. Now, Rashi explains like this. Who is this one who put it on the Kevesh Shalei Keneged HaYisod, etc.? So one possibility is that one, so we're talking about, so there's two possibilities. Later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to discuss if a posel person, a Tomei, the Gemara is going to say Tomei, there was an exception, but let's say a Zor or any of the other psulim, did the Zrika, does that make the rest of the blood be considered Shirayim, and now it's posel for the Avodah? So one possibility is if we say that posel osa shirayim, then it means that we would have to say, like we learned from the previous parak, we had a three-way machlokas on the subject of whether shaloi b'mekomer k'mekomer domi or not. We had Shmuel, Rav Huna, Rav Chista over there about if the blood was applied to the mizbeach in the wrong place, is it considered like as if it still is to this extent as if it was applied in the proper place? If we say that a posel will make the rest of the blood shirayim, then it means if he had put it on the mizbeach in the proper place, we'd have a problem. It wouldn't help for a kosher to do another kabbalah. But because he's a posel and he put it on the wrong part of the mizbeach, therefore we're going to ignore his zrika and we can start over again. The other possibility is if we hold, as Shmuel said over there, and that's Sogia Shaloi B'mekremet B'mekremet Yami, it is considered an actual Zrika, then we would have to say, in Posel, Oseh Shirayim, the fact that he's a Posel doesn't make it Shirayim. Had he been a Kosher Koyin, then the rest would be Shirayim, and we couldn't do it over again. So in other words, it's one or the other. Either because he's a Zor, or because he's in the wrong place, is why we're able to, Im Yesh Dama Nefesh, then a Kosher is able to do it over again.
We're going to Rashi. The
is the apostle. Right, so it's a apostle that placed it on the mizbeach.
You also see that from the Rashi before. Nosnai
apostle. So the Gemara starts off. Shachtu di'evet ein lachatchiloloi. So you're telling me that only when you're saying that kol apsolim sheshachtu, it sounds like it's only b'di'evet if they did that, but lachatchilo they shouldn't be shachti. The problem is Uraminu. I have a contradiction to that because a braisa says the shachat, we learn from that, shchita ksheira bizar. Shchita bizar ksheira. Shchita done by a zor is kosher because it doesn't say the shachat akoin. Because like our Mishnah said, it is kosher with any of them doing it. So it's kosher, even like a tchila, not like our Mishnah makes it sound like it's only b'di'evid. So the question is, so maybe not. Maybe you could argue that it means only koyanim can do it. So you would answer back, well, what's the habamina? What makes you think that only a kohen could shecht? You would think, Hashem tells Aaron, you and your sons should guard your kohuna for all the matters of the mizbeach. So all the matters of the mizbeach include shechita. So it sounds like like all avodas, including the shechita, have to be done by kohenim. So you might have thought that when the pasuk says v'shachat es ben abakar, that taka means only a kohen can do it. No, because the pasuk says on shecht the ben abakar before Hashem, and the kohenim will v'ikrivu, where we learned in the v'ikrivu of an Aaron a kohenim, and then as we learned in the first parak, v'ikrivu means both the kabbalah and the halacha. So we learn from that the kabbalah ve'elach, mi kabbalah ve'elach mitzvah kohuna, only from kabbalah and on where it says akhoyanim, only then does it have to be done by akhoyanim. Limit al shchita shekshere before them. So that teaches us shchita is kosher by everybody. Famously, we have the Gemara tells us in Brachas that this was when little Shmuel, 2 years old, was brought to the Mishkan Shiloh, then he almost got himself in trouble for that. His parents bring korbanos with him. And Avi is looking around for a kohen to shecht him. Little 2 year old Shmuel says you don't need shchita shekshere bazar. Avi tells him that's true, but you murder Allah of the Snei Rabbi, Chayim Nisa, etc. And then Chan asked to plead for his life over there. So why is our Mishnah implying that it's only B'di'evit? So the answer is, Hu Adin Da'afir L'Chatchila Nami. As a matter of fact, it would be kosher for his Zohar to do it even L'Chatchila and the other Psalim. Or Mishum D'Kaboy L'Misnit T'mayim. However, the Mishnah is going to be mentioning in its list T'mayim, L'Chatchila Loy. And the fact is, L'Chatchila, they shouldn't be shechting Zer Hashem Yigu B'Bosser, because like we said in the Mishnah, they might touch the meat and be metame, whether because of Chibos HaKoydet, or because it might still be wet from walking through the river. So we can't say as a blanket statement that it is kosher for them to do it. So by the way, as far as when we said at the end of the Mishnah, when we're talking about who it is that did this nos na'al kevesh, etc., and yeah, Rashi had said that it means all the psalim. I forgot Shit Mukubetis brings that it may only be actually the Tomei. Because the Tomei, Taka makes Shirayim, because the Tomei Koyan sometimes is able to do the Avodah movement by Korbanos Tzibur. So therefore, he'd be able to make Shirayim, and therefore, only if it's Shaloi ben Koyma do we have room to say Shaloi ben Koyma, Kim Koyma double. So it may not be all the Psalm necessarily. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here. So a Tomei shouldn't do the Hatzchila, but everybody else can do the Hatzchila. So the question is Tomei di'evet shaper domi? So you're telling me, but di'evet Tomei could shech the Korbanos? Uraminu, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says when the Pasuk says the Samach v'Shochat, the Pasuk says you should do smicha, and then right after that it says you should shecht. We learn from Hekish, mas smicha b'tahorim. Smicha has to be done by tahorim by definition, because as the Gemara is going to point out soon, it has to be done in the Azara, and Tomei can't come into the Azara. Af shchita b'tahorim, the same way the shchita can also be accomplished only by tahorim, so then it can't be done by tmeim. So what are you telling me? And the answer is midrabanan. That's only midrabanan. This is basically an asmachta, this pasuk. Okay, the question is, what's the difference? Maishna smicha dichtiv lifnei Hashem. So taka, what's the difference by smicha? So, Taka, why is there that difference? Why, indeed, is there, if in fact we have the Hekish, then Taka, why don't we apply the Hekish and say both of them apostle by Tomei? Maishna smicha dechtiv lifnei Hashem. Why by smicha it does say lifnei Hashem? Now, Rashi says it actually doesn't say the words lifnei Hashem by smicha. But what it is precisely as we just said, because it says for samach yodei al rosh korbanai, and then the next pasuk is shachat es ben abakar lifnei Hashem. And since, as the Gemara is going to explain, take a smicha shchita, they have to be back to back without any interruption. Necessarily, then the smicha has to be inside; it has to be lifnei Hashem. So it doesn't actually say lifnei Hashem by smicha, but we learn it from this hekesh and from the fact that take a smicha shchita. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about that, or is there maybe any place where it does say, Tosfos ends up saying that you do have by the par koyin mashiach, that it mentions over there, that the samach, and it says over there lifnei Hashem. You can't necessarily learn from all of that, because fine, that one has a chatas apnimis, it's a special kind of case. But still, the Gemara can still assume that smicha has to be done lifnei Hashem.
Why doesn't Tertius bring from the beginning of Yuma?
From what's in the beginning of Yuma?
From Lefnei Hashem, that he...
But that's the thing. It doesn't say by most Korbanos that the smicha has to be Lefnei Hashem. Whenever it says the Samach Yodai, the Samach Yodai Arosh Ha'olov, the Samach Yodai Arosh Korbanos, etc., it doesn't say Lefnei Hashem.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. One place you have is where it actually says Tosfos does mention the point about the power and Mashiach, but Tosfos says you can't learn from that. No, what it is because it doesn't say the Samach Lifnei Hashem, but the other way around. Yakliv Oysa Lurit Sone Lifnei Hashem, and then first word of the next pasuk is the Samach. So from that you have Lifnei Hashem at the end of one pasuk and the Samach at the beginning of the next one. So we see that the smicha has to be Lifnei Hashem.
Okay.
Anyway. So if the smich has to be lifnei Hashem, shchita nami also lifnei Hashem. Doesn't it say the shchita has to be lifnei Hashem as well? So how can a tamei do it? And why taka don't we apply the hekesh and say that he can't? And the answer is efshid avid sakana rucha v'shochet. The answer is because when it comes to that, he can use a long knife and shech, and therefore he doesn't have to come in. Tosfos actually, before beginning of the previous omer, has a long discussion. How long would this knife have to be? I mean, if he can't come in past the Ezra's Noshim, for example, first of all, there's certain kinds of tamei who can't even come into the Ezra's Noshim. So what is the knife going to extend across the whole Ezra's Noshim and into the Azara? And then what about if he's one of the kind, Tosfos says, okay, if he became tamei in the Ezra's Noshim, we're not going to be so machmer on him and make him leave. So fine, then you just need a much shorter knife that will extend into the Ezra's Yisrael. I'm not real sure why it is that Tosfos does not just bring up the possibility very well. He stands by one of the northern gates or one of the southern gates, if it's Kodesh and Kalim, and reaches in and shafts over there. You don't need, then all you have is the chayil. At most, you have the chayil, and some say the chayil is only on the east side, and then you don't have that far distance at all. I'm not sure why Tosfos doesn't bring up that possibility. So the question is, smicha nami efshid ma'ayo yodav is samich. Well, with smicha, why can't he just stick in his hands and do smicha? He'll stand outside the azara and stick his hands in. And the answer is not, kasava bia b'miktas, shma bia, because this tana of this braisa holds that even a little bit of coming in of the body is considered a coming in, and since a tome can't come into the azara, then no part of his body can come in before. Interesting thing in that connection, they mention as far as the koisel. So the koisel is generally accepted is the wall of the Hanabais. So there's no problem standing outside it. Far outside it is outside the Hanabais. But Advaz actually mentions in a Truva, he says it's the wall of the Azor. There might be problems sticking your fingers into the cracks, because then already you're going via Bemixus into the Hanabais, and that may be an issue. I don't remember. I think there were even some people who say maybe you shouldn't come all the way towards the coastal, because you know when you look underground over there, the rows of stones go further and further out. You know, it was built going narrower and narrower as you go up, so it'd be stable. So therefore, when you're standing in the coastal plaza, if you stand right next to the wall, you're standing above some of those underground stones. I believe it's said though that when the Frieder could ever visited there, for example, he didn't worry about that. But as far as the sticking in the fingers, yeah. So the Gemara says Rav Chista Masni Ibcha. Rav Chista learned the other way around. So here we had the Braisa had said that we learn from smicha to shchita, just like smicha has to be done by tahorim, because we take as a given via b'mitzvah shma bia, and therefore tamei cannot do smicha. Then we learn from that from shchita that a tamei can't do shchita as well. Although we're saying really that's only midirat baman. If he uses a sak in arucha, then daraisa he would be able to do it. Rav Chista Masni Ibcha. Rav Chista learned the limud the other way around. He goes from shchita to smicha. The samach v'shocha, ma shchita v'tahorim, just like the shchita has to be done specifically by tahorim, what's he going to do with our Mishnah, we'll talk about. Af smicha v'tahorim, the same way smicha has to be done dafka by tahorim. And therefore, in other words, we wouldn't necessarily know that bia b'mitzah shma bia. So that's the Gemara says, Ma'ishna shchita b'shchit lifnei Hashem. Well, the question is again, by shchita it says lifnei Hashem. Smicha nami tzid lifnei Hashem. Doesn't it say that by smicha as well? So why do we need a hekesh? And the answer is, efshid ma'ayo yodu b'samech, because he can stick it in his hands and do the smicha. Because bia b'miktas is not considered bia. It's not considered bia according to him. So the question is, shchita nami efshid ovid sakana rocha b'shochit. What about the shchita? Can he use a long knife? And at most, then you'd have a problem, d'rabbanon, because so you shouldn't touch the meat. In fact, actually, uh, the uh, the Karen Oda points out that you wouldn't even necessarily need a long knife for Bia B'mitzvah Shimon Bia. You can use a regular size knife and stick his hands in and do it. But the problem is that then he might forget and touch the meat. If he uses the long knife, that'll help be a hector for him to not go in. Tosfos actually discusses later on, also in the Perek, that if he's a Tomei, it's going to be on his mind that he's Tomei, so we're not so worried that he himself is going to come in, but we are only worried that he might touch the meat. So the answer is, so why can't he use a long knife? And the answer is Homani Shimon HaTimnihi. The answer is that Rav Chista's version of the Braisa is according to Shimon HaTimnihi. Yitanya, the shochat has ben abokr lifnei Hashem. When the pasuk says he should shech the ben abokr, he should shech the bull before Hashem. That means the bull has to be before Hashem. V'loy hashochet lifnei Hashem. The shochet does not have to be before Hashem. He can be outside the azara. Shimon HaTimni, but Shimon HaTimni says no. On the contrary, minayin shiyu yodav shal shochet lifnim min hanishchat. How do we know that the hands of the shochet have to be further in than the animal that's being shechted? So in other words, it's not enough that he has to be in the azara. He has to be actually be further in the azara than the animal. He can't be standing near the edge and reaching inward. He has to be closer to the mizbeach or to the heichel than the animal does. Tamad loyim of a shochet as ben abokar lifnei Hashem, shochet as ben abokar yir lifnei Hashem. So he learns because the pasuk says he should shech the ben abokar before Hashem. And that means the one himself who is shechting the ben abokar has to be before Hashem. Before Hashem discussed, does that actually mean, for example, could he be standing further out and just reach over the animal, or does he actually have to physically be standing further inside the azara? Whatever the case, according to Shimon HaTimni, then there'd be the arm mishnah wouldn't work because in fact he's tomei and he can't shecht. With that said, Mefoshim discussed the Karen Oda, I think, discusses that maybe the Dieved, if he shecht it, maybe even Shimon HaTimni would allow. Let's say he was a Tommy, he was over, he went into the Azara. Well, he's making himself high of chorus, but let's say he went in there and shechted an animal, even Shimon HaTimni might agree the Dieved works. The Gemara continues, speaking of this Bia B'mikdas business, if a Tomei sticks his hand into the Azara, then he gets Malkus. Shenema, because the pasuk says before Kodesh Lo Siga, it talks about a Yeledes, that during the 40 or 80 days that she's partially Tomei, she can't touch any Kodesh, and she can't come into the Bia B'mikdas. So Makish Bia L'Negia, so by saying before Kodesh Lo Siga, V'al HaMikdas Lo Savoy, we have a Hekesh between touching and walking in. So man negiya b'mitzvah shema negiya. Now touching, by definition, is only part of the body. You don't touch kodesh with your entire body. You touch it with your fingers or something, and that's considered negiya. Ah, bia b'mitzvah shema bia. The same way coming partially in is considered a coming in. So therefore, so now the trauma is over on v'lo yitamos machaneim, and therefore he's chayiv malchus for that. He won't necessarily be chayiv koris, but he won't necessarily be chayiv koris unless it was a complete bia. But he will at least be chayiv malchus. Ace of Hoshia Ula, but of Hoshia says to Ula that I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, Mitzora Shachal Shmini Shaloi Lias Be'erva Pesach. Suppose that Mitzora, he has the whole thing with the birds and everything, then he has to shave, he has 7 days when he has to wait, then on the seventh day he shaves again, and then the next day, the eighth day, is when he's supposed to bring his korbanos. So now suppose that eighth day comes out on Erev Pesach. So if nothing else, then fine, it would be no problem. He'd bring his korbanos. He's now not on the Chutz Kippurim anymore. Now he can even enter the Azara himself and shecht his korban Pesach, and he can certainly eat it that night. The problem is v'ra keri b'riba yom b'tovah. The problem is on that very eighth day, he had an emission of keri, and he total. So now, so as a Baal Keri, he would have to stay out of even the whole Harabayis. And as a Tevul Yom, he can come in further, but he can't come into Machnes Shchini. He can't come into the Azara. So the problem is that he's supposed to be standing over there and having the blood of the Osham applied to his ear, thumb, and toe as part of the process of his Tara. And that means he has to be able to come in. He has to be able to come in into the Harabais to be able to do that. So now, a Baal Keri can't come into the Harabayas, and even though he's a Tzvul Yom now, Rashi points out this Braisa holds that Tzvul Yom kizov dummy. So even though he's a Tzvul Yom now, he has a lesser degree of Tumah. Nevertheless, he still has the status of a Baal Keri, and therefore he's still considered like a Baal Keri, and can't normally come into Machne Leviyah. He can't come into the Harabayas at all. So how is he going to come to have his korbanos brought? Omru chachamim. So the chacham said, "Afu pishen tvul yom achar nichnas." Even though usually a tvul yom is not allowed to, is not tumas keri at least, is not allowed to enter the harabayis. In this case, zen nichnas. This one could come in. Mutav yove eser sheyesh bekaris v'yidcha eser shein bekaris. Because in this case, there's only an eser of the. There's an eser of Pesach. He has to bring a korban Pesach, and if not, he's chayav karis. And the point is, if he doesn't bring his korbanos of a mitzvah, and he doesn't have the blood applied, and the blood and the oil applied to the proper places, he won't be able to eat the korban pesach. Then that involves karis. And the yidcha eser she'en bei karis, so that should override the eser of the tmeim being sent out of the harabayis, where there's no karis in that, because karis is only inside the azara. Although outside of that, there's lavim involved, and there's an eser, the yishalchum in a machne, but the eser of pesach should override that. So now the Gemara interjects before we finish with the question. The Gemara interjects with Rabbi Yochanan on the Dvar Torah Filah Essayin by. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the whole premise and says, no, there's actually not even an essay. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. Tosfos points out he can't really argue with a Braisa, but there are other, there are other relevant Mishnayos that Rabbi Yochanan can be following. So minat Torah, there wouldn't even be an isur eser for this tvul yom to enter the harabayis, and even to enter the eses nashik. Shenema, you have pasuk in divrei yamin, by yamad Yehoshaphat ihal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim beveis Hashem. Yehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Yehuda and Yerushalayim in the house of Hashem lifnei achotzer achadosha, before the new chotzer. So in the simple sense, it was a chotzer that they'd recently renovated or something. And they can't add the blueprint to the Beis Mikdash. So they can't build a whole new chotzer, but they could renovate the old one. But the Gemara explains that what it means is, my chotzer achadosha, why they call it that, because they made a new takana about it. They made a new statement about it, Omru, and they said, Tzvul Yoim, Ayukonis L'machna Leviya. That Tzvul Yoim, from now on, Midrabbanon, is not allowed to enter Machna Leviya. Doesn't necessarily mean the whole Machna Leviya, particularly Tosfos says it means the Ezra's Noshin. So Tzvul Yoim is now, so when it mentions in Kalim that the Tzvul Yoim is not allowed to enter the Ezra's Noshin, this is Midrabbanon, this is a Xera from the times of Yehoshaphat. The context, by the way, is the Pasuk describes how there was a whole coalition of nations who had invaded Eretz Yisrael. They'd come across the Yam HaMelech from Ammon and Moab and Amalekim and so on and so forth. And even though Yehoshaphat himself, the Pesukim tells of they had a huge army, these guys were even bigger, and Yehoshaphat and the people were very afraid. So they gathered together for a mass tefillah in the Beis Hamikdash. This is in the caption to Kapitel Pei Gimel in the earliest of Tillim. It mentions that Kapitel is all about that. All the Moyav the Yishma'elim, Moyav the Hagrim, all the Amun, the Amalek was a whole United Nations against Israel. I once saw an interesting explanation, by the way. So what's the connection that now all of a sudden they made the sakana about Tzvul Yom? They're saying, what's happening? The Goyim are coming into where they don't belong. So we need to be mischazik in something where to make that a person shouldn't go where he doesn't belong. We're going to make an extra gedder that a Tzvul Yom shouldn't come into a place where until now he might have been allowed to. Anyway, the Pasuk, by the way, the Pasuk of Anachnu Leneda comes from that tefillah that they said on that occasion as well. It's a half a Pasuk over there in Divrei Yomim. In the end, you have famously that a Navi tells them that Hashem is going to cause them to be defeated, and they sang Shira. It's one of the four examples. The Medrash says there were four kings that each of them asked the Eidishter for something else. David says, Erdif Oivai Vashigim, let me pursue them and then catch up to them and defeat them, and Hashem gave them that, Hashem granted them that. Also, a couple of generations later, they say, we can't actually fight against them, but we're going to go out against them, and Hashem helped them. Yehoshaphat says, we don't even have the koyach to go out against them, we're just going to watch from the Navi tells them, you're just going to watch from a distance, and you're going to see how they're going to defeat one another, and so forth. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, so it's only Midrabbanan, says Rabbi Yochanan. There's no Esser, there's no Isser, even Minatora, even an Isser Esser for a Tevul Yom to come in. Anyway, Rav Hoshia continues with this question, getting back to the Braisa that we said that says that there is a Lois Esser involved. Now, the E Amad Bia B'Mitzvah Shema Bia, if you're telling me that Bia B'Mitzvah is actually considered Bia, Heichem Ayo Yodei B'Bahinus, how is he able to stick his ear or his thumb or his toe in? Bahinus just means the thumb. We're using it as a shorthand for all three of those body parts. Ivy, Esser Sheyesh B'Koresu. Either way, there's Koresu involved over here. So the Braisa is saying there's Esser Sheyesh B'Koresu, and therefore the Esser of Pesach, which is Yesh B'Koresu, can override it, but comes out based on what you're telling me. If Bia B'mitzvah, Shema Bia, then you're not any better one way or the other. So Ola answers him, Mitunach, from your own burden, from the very place that you're asking me the question, I'm going to actually, Rashi says, like, you came to put a heavy burden on me, instead I'm going to put that burden right back on you. You're bringing me a proof from Mitzurda, and I'm going to answer you from that very case of Mitzurda, and answer you that Adarabba, that proves my point. Shiny Mitzurda. When you get down to it, a mitzvah is, by definition, is a mechusah kipurim, and he shouldn't be able to enter the azara. And still, the Torah specifically gives him permission to put in his ear and thumb and toe so the blood can be applied to him, and it has to be, because you can't take the blood of the asham outside the azara, it would become possible. So of necessity, he has to be able to stick those body parts in. So once he's already allowed, bia b'mitzvah, when he's a mechusah kipurim for tzaras, then already we allow it for the tevul yom as well. So you're asking from that, but adrabba, that in a way that proves my point. In fact, Tosfos says even more so, because why does the Braisa make the point of saying that he had an emission of Keri boy by yoim? Davka boy by yoim, where he's already mostly out of its saras, and he could say mitzvah short of sarate hot of the kiryei. But in other words, the implication would be that had the Keri been yesterday, and he just didn't get around to toiveling yesterday, then it wouldn't work. So therefore, we see precisely from that specifically when the Torah is giving him an exemption as a mitzvah, as a mechusah kippurim, to put his ear, thumb, and toe in, then the Torah is also allowing it for other purposes, including when he's a Baal Keri. But normally there would be at least Malkus, if not Kores, involved. Tosfos also, by the way, discusses it's not necessarily like Rashi had said because Tavul Yom Kazov Dami, but rather it's there's other reasons why we might say that he might not have been able to come in as a Tavul Yom. But now again, we're saying that we're overriding those because anyway he's a Mitzora and he needs to stick in his body parts for that. So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Yosef Kasava Ola. Now, in this connection, we also see that Ula holds Ruban Zovin Benasu Tmei Mesim. By that logic, we can deduce, suppose that most of the Tzibur, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, are Zovin Benasu Tmei Mesim. So, and now, as Zovin, they can't bring the Korban Pesach. Only Tumas Mes is overridden for that. And now they also become Tmei Mesim by Ula's logic. However, Hutru the Tumasan, Hutru the Zivasan. Once they're already allowed to bring the Korban Pesach as Tmei Mesim, then they would even be allowed to come in and do it as Zovin. Omalei Abaya, me dummy, but Abaya says, how is it comparable? Tumah ishteroi, ziva lo ishteroi. Only Tumas Mes was mutter to them, ziva was not. So the original ziva is still there. With the Mitzvah, you could say the first one was not also, so therefore when he becomes also Tomei as a Baal Keri, then it doesn't change things. He was already Tomei, he can't become more Tomei. But here, they were, as Zovim alone, they would be also. What, now that they have more Tumah, they should be allowed? What's logic? Omalei. So he answers him back. Rabbi Yosef answers him back. Hagoyes Abach takes out the word Omalei, which would mean that this is a continuation of what Abaya is saying. Maybe what the Rebbe meant to say is the other way around. Ruben Tmei Mesim, Manasu Zovim, if most of them were Tmei Mes, and then they became Zovim, then we would say then it would be exactly like Ola's case, Hutru L'Kemosan, Hutru L'Zivosan, once they're already Mutter as Tmei Mes, then they'll be Mutter as Zovim as well. Amalein, so Rabbi Yosef says, yes, that is what I meant. But the question still is, and here Hagoyes Abach sticks in Amalei, because Abaya is going to ask on him, Va'akati le'yomi, it's still not really exactly the same, Mitzurda heteru, by the Mitzurda you could argue it is in fact Mutter, to begin with, for him to put in his body parts, so the Bia B'mitzvah, Hoyover ishtri, and you could say that once it's Mutter, then fine, it's completely Mutter, because it's Hutra. But Tumah, Dechuyah, but when it comes to Tumah, but Tzibur, it's not Hutra, it's only Dechuyah. You still need Tzitz for it. So Lahoi Dechuyah, Lahoi Lahoi Dechuyah. So you could argue, it's only Nidcha as far as what it needs to be Nidcha for Tumas Mes. It's not necessarily Nidcha for Tumas Zov. So what's the logic that we should learn it? What's the logic that we should learn it from Mitzvah? The Gemara is going to point out at the top of the next Amud that evidently both Abaya and Rabbi Yosef both agree that Tumah is Dechuyah B'Tzibur, not Hutra B'Tzibur, otherwise there's no basis for the question. But Amale Rava Ipchemis Abraham Ipchemis Sabra. Rava argues to Abaya on the contrary, then use the logic the other way around. Mitzoda Heterahu Fakir. With the Mitzoda, you have a special heter because for Bia B'mitzas, because he needs his because he needs to become tahor. He needs the blood applied to his body parts. Lahoi shteroi or lahoi shteroi. So you can argue that's mutter only for the one purpose, but not for the other. So maybe, in fact, it shouldn't normally be mutter for him as a tvul yoim, and we're only allowing it specially in this case because it's erev Pesach and he needs to bring the korban Pesach. Tumah dechuya. But if you're telling me that tumah is dechuya, mali chad dechuya, mali shtei dechias. And tackle what's the difference whether it's one dechia or two. Either way, nidche is nidche. So McLeod, the Tavirus, Tumor Dhuya Hibit Sibur. So that shows us that both Abaya and Rava evidently hold that Tumor is Dhuya Bitsibur and it needs sits and all of that, rather than as you have the other opinion in various places in Chas. Tumor Hutra Bitsibur, and therefore then there'd be no basis for the question and there'd be no reason to not compare it to not compare it exactly to the Mitzvah. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more on this topic of Bia B'mitzas and all of this.